Welcome to the John Hendrick Fellowship Lunch Podcast. These are messages by Hendrick Motorsports Chaplain Donnie Floyd of Motor Racing Outreach. These messages are spoken weekly to encourage and help you see the world through God's eyes and not your own. Life can be difficult, but we believe life with God can be joyful and fulfilling. I hope that these messages will influence you to trust God and His promises. You can learn more about Motor Racing Outreach at go2mro.com. Thanks for listening. Let's get ready for today's message.
Father, meet me with your arms wide open. The world's done broken, your prodigal son. Down that road I traveled, everything raveled, only came undone. Father, lead me down to the river. Wash me in the water till I'm whiter than snow. Tell me, please, you got a place for me, saving grace for me. Father, meet me in the cool green valley. All of your glory when my days are done. Name me as one of your chosen, heaven's unbroken prodigal son. Unbroken prodigal son.
How's it going, everybody? Can we still say Happy New Year? It's close enough, right? Yeah? It's going to be a good season, right? Can I get an amen on that? Yes, sir. I heard that. Look at me. I got a new music stand. This one's not going to fall over. My beautiful wife got me a music stand because the one I had been using and somehow brought it here as a grown adult I had used since I was probably about 8 years old taking violin lessons. So something a little bit more legitimate. So I'm excited. It's the small things, right, for Christmas that matter. Want to give a shout out real quick. My first boss, the guy who gave me my break, is here from Lawrence, South Carolina, Mr. William Smith. He's right over there, his son and his son's a girlfriend over there. They just took a tour of the facilities. Just kind of a cool full circle moment. Anytime that you can, you know, just thank those who have helped you along the way. So, William, whether you know it or not, you helped me get where I am today. So I appreciate you, sir. Yes, sir. Y'all keep eating. Chew louder, okay?
You are my joy, you are my song, you are the well, the one
Afternoon. Y'all bow your heads with me real quick as we begin today's lunch. And Father, we thank you for this food. Thank you for the hands that prepared it. Thank you for the opportunity to gather as your family, as your children, Father, under this roof at work, Lord. And we pray for Donnie's message. Thank you for this time to just fellowship together. We love you. It's in your son's holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Austin. Austin, I told him we were going to be moving in here, and being I'm not a sound person, he's like, the acoustics are way better in there. So once again, giving up for him for leading us in worship. Glad to see everyone here. Like Austin said, Happy New Year. We're kind of not in a series per se, but last week we were looking at how to live out in this 2024 year. How do we live out and be who God's called us to be? And we looked at some key areas. We looked at we should be sacrificial and holy in our living. We should bear fruit, right? We know about the fruit of the Spirit. We should forgive each other. That's going to help you a lot this year. We should be in a position where we speak truth in a day and an age where truth is so relative and confusing. And then finally, we want to be in a place where we find contentment. Like at some point in your life, you're going to have to find contentment. And so this week, we're going to look at, once again, still living, but living for Christ in a broken world. So, man, there's a lot about me I have to do as a father and a husband and with my family and live out who God's called me to be as your chaplain. But, man, we live in a broken world. And unfortunately, we don't have a lot of control over what that looks like. I was telling someone last week, you know, the world's been broken for a long time. We just haven't been able to look at it from our palm, right? Don't you wish we couldn't look at it? We just didn't know. But we do know. And so what do we do as believers? How do we navigate through that and live knowing what we learned last week? And I believe that it all starts with love. Now, if you've been in the church any length of time, you've heard plenty of messages on love. Just love people. Who finds that easy? Exactly. Exactly. I thought you would at least say you love me, but it's not easy to love people, right? But we're going to look at that today. The verse for today, John 13:35. Listen to this. Many of you know I've been kind of putting the verses in the Amplified translation. Not that that's my favorite. I'm an ESV, NIV guy, but it kind of helps us understand the verses a little better. Listen to this. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples. If you have love and unselfish concern for one another. Jesus reminding these believers, do you want to know how they'll know if you're a disciple? That means a follower of Jesus. How you love them. Seems like a tall order, doesn't it? Man, I gotta love people. Like some people are easy, some people not so easy. And so I believe living for Christ in this broken world in 2024, it starts with love, right? Until you learn how to love people, all the other things are gonna be very difficult. And so think of this, what is love? If someone was to walk up and ask you, what is love? Would you know what to say? Well, so I Googled it because Google's my new way of learning. And listen to the noun. It's an intense feeling of deep affection. So in other words, it's showing fondness to someone. It's a great interest and pleasure in something. As a verb, it's a feeling of deep affection for someone. It's to like or enjoy very much. In other words, when I think of a great interest in someone, if you're married in here, so husbands and wives, it's kind of hard to love your spouse if you don't have an interest in them. Right? Like, has your spouse ever went, you don't show interest in me? Like, if you don't show interest in them, it's kind of hard to love them, right? Because it's part of being interested in. I looked up the different types of love. We have affectionate love. We have friendship love. I have a lot of that with you guys here, friendship love, right? We have erotic sexual love, right? We see that intimacy in marriage. But one I want to concentrate on that we're kind of looking at today is this agape love. And this is this love that seeks the best for someone. See, I think we've figured out as married couples, we understand the erotic love, right? I think we understand friendship love, right? I think we understand affectionate love. But man, what about this love that seeks the best for someone? And what if that someone is someone you just don't like? Do you have that agape love for them? And it's not easy. And so I know love is a fruit of how we should live. We learned that last week. Part of walking out this 2024 year means that I have to walk out some fruit in my life. The fruit of the Spirit, right? We talked about that. Love, patience, kindness, gentleness, right? Self-control, goodness, these fruits of the Spirit that we see in the Scriptures. And so we know that it's a fruit. And you ever, if you're into eating well, fruit is good for you. You ever hear that? Just so y'all know, little Debbies are not good for you. Right, Shala? Where's my boy Shala? Right? He tempts me with those a lot. They're not good for you. But fruit is good for you. And so we should know that when we love people, we're walking out the fruit of the Spirit, right? This is the fruit of who God wants me to be. And so with that, that's the John 13:35, right? It says, if you have love and unselfish concern for one another, right? You will be a disciple of Christ. But not only that, we're commanded to love one another. I don't know if you realize that, but as a follower of Christ, if you've given your life over to Christ for salvation, there's a certain part about, we read, especially in 1 John, John writes a lot about it, about obeying his commands. And, you know, we're in our sin nature, our flesh and our spirit, so sometimes obeying is difficult. But we get in this position where, man, God's commanding me to love people, love one another, especially in the body of Christ. But listen to what 1 John 3:11 says. Now, John here, this is the same apostle that wrote the book of John. This is later on, he's the only one living left, right? So he's writing to believers in Ephesus. If you want to know where that is, that's modern day Turkey today. And this is, he's kind of the last surviving apostle. And so he's writing and he writes this. For this is the message which you believers have heard from the beginning of your relationship with Christ, that we should unselfishly love and seek the best for one another. I like the word unselfishly there in the Amplified, because what it means is you don't have any motives. Like, what are your motives when you love people? But that we're to do what? We're to seek the best for people. And we do that by loving them. We know that that is something that God wants of us. He commands of us. And then how about this? We know that that love comes from God. See, left to yourself, without the work of the power of the Holy Spirit, it's going to be very difficult for you to love people. Now, it might be easier for you to love your wife, your spouse, your husband, maybe your friends. But man, when it comes to this agape love and you're seeking the best for people, and those people don't line up with, say, your group or your family or your relationships or your ideas or your beliefs, love gets a little more difficult, right? So we need a love that comes from God. So think of this. Love is a characteristic of who God is. We know that. Think of this verse here, 1 John 4:7. Beloved, let us unselfishly love and seek the best for one another. For love is from God, and everyone who loves others is born of God and knows God through personal experience. So in other words, to love the way God would have us love, we're born of God, right? We're new creations in Christ. But not only that, we know God. We know Him. We read His Word. We have a relationship with Him. And so that's what helps us understand what it means to love. And so I never truly understood how to love people until I really got in the Word and realized that God looks at people different than I do. You know, His lens is way different than my lens. And so if we want to live for Christ in a broken world, it starts with love. And so it's also understanding God's love is sacrificial. So here's the thing. There's a lot about love that you're not going to want to be a part of. But that's the uniqueness of love, is it is actually superficial. When I do marriage counsel and I talk to couples about unconditional love, you know, when you're getting married on that day, everything's great, right? And then 3 years later, you got kids and you're like, wow, wait a minute. You know, I've heard people say, well, we just don't love each other anymore. We fell out of love for one another. How does that happen? Because you loved each other when you got married. Like, it was great. But think about this. It's sacrificial, meaning that even when things are not necessarily going the way you would like them to, you still choose to love, right? And so that's important. Listen to this. God loved you enough that He did the unthinkable. Think of this. We know this verse, John 3:16. Listen to this. For God so loved, so greatly loved and dearly prized the world that He gave His one and only begotten Son, that whoever believes and trusts in Him as your Savior shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge or condemn the world, that is, to initiate the final judgment of the world, but that the world might be saved through Him. Think about this. God did the unthinkable. Jesus comes. We know it's God incarnate, Emmanuel, God with us. He comes and lives and dwells among us. And of course, in that day, the Jewish people thought He was going to be a conquering king, but He did it completely different. Completely different, right? He like let them crucify Him. But the God of love allowed this to happen, right? The second part of the Trinity, Jesus, God in flesh, gave Himself up through love for us. Do you have that kind of love? Like, I got some sacrificial love, right? Where I might give someone some money to help them, you know, but I'm only going to give them enough that I can get by. How sacrificial is it? You know, what kind of sacrificial love do you have for people? Is it really sacrificial? When you step into the unity of marriage, I'm just telling you, if you're not married, that is sacrificial love. You know why? Because you're going to wake up one day and you're not going to like each other. And you got to go, wait a minute, what did I promise to my wife or to my... It's this sacrificial love. I'm going to love you no matter what. No matter what. And so we see that. And so what do you do with love, right? We know it's sacrificial. It's something God wants of us. We know that there's different types, but we're looking for this love that seeks the best for someone. It should be common to all of us. Well, love... When I think of what do you do with love, think of this right here. It's interesting. We know what to do with love when it's the right way. But what about when it's the wrong way? What about when humanity is living the wrong way? What about when things are not going the way we think they should? What about when people are thinking and acting and have ideologies that are completely opposite of who God says He is? How do you love those people, right? Because that, to me, is the hardest, to love people that don't necessarily love God like I do. And so listen to this, John 3:19. He continues writing, John does. This is the judgment that is the cause for indictment, the test by which people are judged, the basis for the sentence. Listen to this. So why do you love? Listen to what happened in that day. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. See, there was a time in that day where people chose to love darkness instead of the light. That's still happening for us today. People are in love with a lot of things. People are pursuing dark, immoral, evil things that they love. So what do you do with that, right? Well, we know in that day, light had come into the world and people loved the darkness rather than the light. The interesting thing is Jesus came for them anyway. And so when we get to that position, what do we do with people that don't agree like us or don't, they're just evil or immoral? Not that we can't be. Just because we're saved doesn't mean that we've completely conquered sin. But listen to this. Love does not mean agreeing with everyone and accepting his or her views. That's not what love means. Not at all. Listen to this. 1 John 2:15, 17. Do not love the world of sin that opposes God and his precepts, nor the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust and sensual cravings of the flesh and the lust and longing of the eyes and the boastful pride of life, which is pretentious confidence in one's resources or in the stability of earthly things, these do not come from the Father, but are from the world. The world is passing away, and with its lust, the shameful pursuits of ungodly longings, but the one who does the will of God and carries out his purposes lives forever. See, when I think about loving people and trying to seek the best for people and someone around me that maybe is not pursuing God or not a follower of Christ, that can be difficult. But God does remind us in his word, hey, be careful. Don't love the world. And so that means that people that are pursuing the wrong way, a way that is not of God, a way that is immoral and evil and downright demonic and delusional in a day and age that we live in, I don't have to love that. I don't have to love that. I'm not commanded to love that, right? I don't want to be caught up in what the world's trying to offer me, which is not from God. And so with that, I come to the scriptures we see in Matthew 5, which is, I think, is a great piece of scripture. Because we get to this place, we're like, okay, I can't love the world, and there's a lot of the world that's sinful and broken, and many of us could consider that our enemies, but then, man, what does Jesus have to say in Matthew 5, 43? Listen to this. He says, you have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. So I'm going to love my neighbor and hate my enemy. Seems like an easy place to be. But he goes, but I tell you, anytime you see a but, pay attention. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Like I actually have to love someone and seek the best for someone that would be against me. Yeah, that's what God commands of us. It's this unique kind of love that can only come from God. See, logically in your own mind, you can't comprehend that. And if you can, help me understand how easy it is to love some of the evil going on in our world, because I just can't. Especially the people that are behind it. But God says, no, love your enemy. Not only love them, but pray for them. Why? Because ultimately we want the rest of the world, the rest of the nations to come to know Christ. And so with that said, living for Christ in a broken world means obeying God's commands. See, part of loving is obeying. When I said I do to my wife in 1995, standing at the altar, and I made these vows, and I made these promises, I have to obey those for the rest of my life. But Donnie, what if, you know, if there's an affair or abandonment? Hey, I get there's an out. But at the end of the day, God's called me to do what? Obey him. We see this actually in the scriptures as I start to close. You can come up, Austin. Listen to this in 1 John 2. And this is how we know that we have come to know him, understand him, and be more deeply acquainted with him. If we habitually keep focused on his precepts and obey the commandments, his teachings, whoever says, I have come to know him, but does not habitually keep or stay focused on his precepts and obey his commandments, his teaching, is a liar. So to think that I could actually believe in Jesus for salvation, but then when there's things that he wants me to do, like love people, and go, well, no, I don't have to do that part. That's not following his commands. And if I get in a position where I agree with, I'm a liar. He goes on, and the truth is not in him. And remember, we're supposed to be pursuing truth, right? He says, but whoever habitually keeps his word and obeys his precepts, which is his message, in him the love of God is truly perfected. It is completed and has reached maturity. By this we know for certain that we are in him. So whosoever says he lives in Christ, that is, whosoever says he has accepted him as God and Savior, ought, listen to this, I love the Amplified, as a moral obligation to walk and conduct himself just as he walked and conducted himself. So that means, as followers of Christ, we go into 2024 in a broken world. And to start that off, the only way you're going to truly understand how to be who God's called you to be and know how to live is you got to start with loving people the way God sees people. Not the way you see people. The way you see people and the way I see people, I promise you I will not love people. There's certain people I will find it very difficult to love. But when I look at them through the lens of God and see how much he, in his love, loves them, then I get a true understanding of what it looks like to love my enemies and pray for those who persecute me. And so I think it's important as we go through this year that we that represent the body of Christ here, that when people see us, they see love. They don't see perfection, but they see this love that says, man, I want the best for you. I want the best for you. Don't we want the best for people? Don't you want people who want the best for you? Don't we want the best for this company? Don't we want the best for people? And so as Austin sings this song, I want us to stand up. He's going to sing a song I think is important for us, and then he'll pray us out. But I want you to think about this as you go through the week. Man, God wants us to love his people. And what better place to start than in the workplace?
Beside you, oh.
song we could ever sing. And worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. Therefore, you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. And you're worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. God, we live for you.
Father, we thank you again for the opportunity to gather. And as we go and leave this place, Father, I pray that we are good witnesses to our faith, Father, that we show love and kindness and mercy and grace to our friends, our colleagues, and beyond this campus, Father. Until we meet again, we love you, Father, in your Son's holy name. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this message. It is our hope that you take what you have learned today and allow God to use it in your daily life. Feel free to share this message if it has been a benefit to you. Learn more about Motor Racing Outreach at go2mro.com. Take care and God bless.